This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Yesterday, Governor Deal announced 100 new caseworkers would be hired for the Division of Family and Children's Services to handle a continually expanding caseload of investigations into complaints of child abuse and neglect. Bobby Cagle is the new director of the Division of Family and Children's Services, often called DFACS. He joins us now. Commissioner, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
The governor announced those 100 new caseworkers. That is in addition to 175 new caseworkers who are already in the budget for the new fiscal year, which just started. But the new caseworkers will be an additional $4.3 million, the extra 100. They weren't in the budget originally. Do we know where the money's coming from?
The governor is working with the Office of Planning and Budget and also the legislative leaders around the budget and appropriations in order to make that money available. I think this is really a signal, how concerned he is about this, because this is not a typical maneuver for a governor or for an agency in state government. Typically, you operate on your allocation as it is currently, and then you look to the legislative session to allocate more if you need it.
Well, that anticipated my question. Is that what you're going to have to do with these 100? In other words, are you saying, okay, we're going to hire 100 caseworkers, but we're going to have to wait till next year's legislature to get the money to do it?
No, absolutely not. We actually are given these funds now, and so we will begin advertising and hiring immediately, and then it will be further dealt with once the legislature is in session. But the governor has seen this as a need that is so urgent that we should go ahead and do it now.
But you still don't know the source of the funds at this point.
Well, it's state funds in a combination with federal funds that go along with that.
How quickly will those workers be added? How quickly will the 175 who were part of the brand new budget be hired as well?
175 have already been hired, and we had a number of those hired prior to July 1st and actually in training. In addition, we have a number of the 175 that have been in training since July 1st, and that training process lasts 4 to 6 weeks, and then we're able to roll those out into the field so they can begin carrying caseloads.
One of the questions that comes up, though, when it comes to caseloads is qualifications for one, training you just mentioned for another. How do you assure the quality of the workers and that you're going to hire people who will actually, A, be competent to handle the cases, and B, be able to stick around?
Well, that is something that we really depend upon our county directors and the supervisors that oversee the work to tell us. We go out with the intention of recruiting the most highly qualified staff that we can find. If we can find them, we like to hire master's degree level staff in human services fields like social work. Mm-hmm. If we can't do
that.
Are
you getting that?
We are in some cases. It depends on the area of the state. If we don't get that, we go for bachelor's level in the human service fields, and then to, in the worst case scenario, a 4-year degreed person who can be trained on the job to work as an associate until they become fully qualified.
Because another question that comes up is salary for somebody who has those degrees, or salary that will attract someone with the master's that you're talking about. What's the average salary for a caseworker right now?
Entry level at the bachelor's level is about $28,000 a year. At a master's level, it's about $40,000 a year. I think anyone who looks at those salary levels would say that that is not sufficient. It is below the beginning salary of a teacher in the state. And so we are going to be making recommendations to the governor and to the legislature regarding that. I think, however, our first and foremost concern is to assure that we have enough people now to do the job. So we will deal with the number of caseworkers that we need and then follow up with requests regarding salaries.
Any idea if you're going to raise the salaries, what you might raise them to, and how much that would cost? Since you're hiring more people, you got more folks, you're going to have to go back to the legislature and say, we need a lot more money.
Absolutely. And what we will do in order to achieve that is to conduct studies within the state to tell us what the average salary for that type of position is in the state. We look across the entire field of social work, including medical social workers who work at hospitals, to get an idea of that. And then there are also studies that were done prior to the recession at the national level that can give us an idea of what states around us are paying. I can tell you, having been in North Carolina, North Carolina's salaries are considerably higher than that in Georgia. So we will look comparatively across states as well as looking within our state at what the social work field is paying.
What's your target date to have the 175 that were already in the new budget for the year, plus the 100 that the governor just announced, have everybody trained and on the job?
We should have a period of probably a month of recruitment. We also have a large number of resumes that we have from prior recruitments that we will be following up with. So we already have some that I'm sure are poised to be hired currently. We will do that as quickly as possible. So what we're telling the county staff, the regional leadership, is that these positions are available. Our HR staff will help recruit. But if there are staff out there or potential employees that meet the qualifications that have applied previously, we'll be considering them so that we don't have to go through an entire interview process again for that person who's already ready to be in there and hired. Once a person comes on, it takes about 2 months to have them receive the basic training that they need in order to be able to do the work within our system. And so we're looking a minimum of 2 to 3 months out before we have all those people out there and in the field. That's the reason Governor Deal saw the necessity of having these 100 come on immediately as opposed to waiting for the legislature to act. And so we're just very pleased about that. We see that. And my staff see that as the governor being greatly concerned about it and giving us the resources that we need in order to do the job.
So you're talking about maybe late fall by the time everybody is on board and actually doing cases. Is that right?
Yes, and we'll do that as quickly as possible, but we never want to shortcut on the training that people have because we want them to be well qualified when they go out to do the job to begin with. I think we can cause ourselves in many instances more problems if we were to cut that training process short. So we will do that as quickly as possible and hopefully have the full contingent out within 3 months.
Your number of investigations has jumped a lot from just over 3,100 a year ago or so reportedly to 5,000 now. Why is that?
Yes, and that you're probably referring to on a monthly basis.
Right.
We have instituted a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week call center that I think has contributed to the majority of the increase. We also know that when there is media attention of any kind to child welfare cases, that the public becomes more aware and reports at higher rates. So we have seen an increase from the 6,000 reports a month level to now we're looking at 8,400 per month, which is a considerable increase. And so we do think that is partly due to the call center, partly due to public awareness. We also think that this just bears out some of the national studies that are out there around the reporting rates of child abuse neglect. Nationally, it's said that only about a third of cases of child abuse neglect are reported. And what I think we're seeing here is actually the increased awareness and the increased ability and time frames within which to make reports, resulting in us getting more of those reports. And that's a good thing.
So given that increase and the increase in the facilities that people have to report suspected cases, will even those 275 total new workers be enough?
You know, I think Governor Deal recognized even before I came aboard that there was a definite need. He committed 525 caseworkers over a 3-fiscal-year period. I think, however, we have had very fluid numbers, and so the increases that we're talking about now were not apparent previously. And so what we're doing is undertaking a good analysis, trying to see if this is going to be a sustained reporting trend. And if it is, then we'll base our decisions and recommendations on that new set of numbers. I think that is the most responsible way to go about it.
So because of the changing in the numbers that you're seeing, you're saying you don't know yet whether those additional workers the 275 total will be enough?
I think 275 will not be enough, and the governor knew that even prior to my coming aboard. He had committed 525 over three fiscal years. I think the question is, can we wait three fiscal years for that number of staff? And then ultimately, is that enough? And that's what we're really working with the Office of Planning and Budget on to try to determine what our ultimate number is. It will be in excess of 525.
525 by when, do you think?
Well, you know, the 175 was intended to be the full year allocation this year. So we're going up to 275 now. My hope is that as we get closer to the legislative session, we'll have the estimates and figures that we need in order to make that larger request. My hope is that as we go through time, that the governor will continue to commit resources as he has at this point, and I'm confident that'll happen.
The target caseload for a worker is somewhere around 15, let's say. Different folks give different targets, but it's somewhere between 12 and 17, something like that, I think.
That is correct.
What's the caseload, average caseload per worker now?
We pulled that this morning. It's 21.8 cases per worker average across the state with significant variation depending on the size of the county and the location in the state. So you may have, you know, within a range less in a smaller, more rural county and much higher caseloads in some of the larger metro counties.
In metro Atlanta, it could be much more than 20?
It could be. And we are seeing instances of higher caseloads than the 21, 22 cases. That is of a great deal of concern. That's the reason part of what we will be doing is looking at allocating the staff that the governor has given us more heavily to the areas that have higher levels of reporting and hopefully bring those numbers down. We have reports of some caseworkers around the state that are carrying in excess of 40 cases.
With a caseload of 40, which is probably the worst you see, what's the risk to kids, though? I mean, how can a caseworker possibly handle that many people?
You know, I think the caseload standards are set for a reason. Child Welfare League of America says between 12 and 15 cases per caseworker. I think what the governor recognizes, what we recognize, is that every case beyond 15 cases is increasing risk for children. So we are taking steps to assure that we get additional eyes on those cases as quickly as possible, that we make response times so that we can cut down on risk. Child welfare is really, you know, we would like to think of it in terms of eliminating risk. But the truth of the matter is that what we're doing in child welfare is reducing risk to the extent possible. As you know, children are at risk all the time. It's the type of risk and the sustained nature of the risk that makes us concerned. And with lower caseloads, we're better able to manage and reduce risk.
Is there a target date for getting the caseload down to 15?
We would like to get it down as quickly as possible. We've not set an ultimate date for that purpose. I will be advocating that we do that sooner rather than later. Part of this will also be in the purview of the Child Welfare Reform Council, and we will be talking with them.
We should mention at this point that is a body that was appointed by Governor Deal earlier this year to take a top-to-bottom look at DFACs. Right?
That is correct. The Reform Council will be looking at issues just like this and will be making recommendations for both the ultimate numbers that they think would be appropriate as well as the time frames. The governor actually set for the 525 caseworkers set a goal of 2017 for those to all be on board and in the field. What we're trying to assess now is can we do that more quickly and is the number and the need greater?
Last month, more than 3,000 of the state's pending child abuse and neglect investigations had gone on longer than the required 45-day maximum. They were taking longer than that to investigate, and that was as of last month. How many are there now, do you know?
We are down to about 2,600. It was around 3,200. We've reduced that over the past 3.5 weeks down to down by over 600 cases, a 24% reduction since the day I came aboard. Part of this is due to the fact that when I came in, I had these statistics pulled. I know from my 25 years experience that the overdue cases, every day that they're overdue, there is increased risk to children. And so that was the first report that I asked be pulled. As soon as I saw that, I knew we had to do something and do it quickly. We instituted mandatory overtime with pay for caseworkers. I think we've seen that borne out as effective over the first couple of weeks. But in addition to the mandatory overtime, we stress with every single case that safety is the goal. So we also have a oversight level with current supervisors. I've also brought on a group of 30 retired child welfare high-level employees that have retired over the last few years that I know that I trust their judgment when it comes to the safety of children. I've asked them to pull randomly cases across the state, take a look at those, and advise me on the safety of the children. If they identify a situation that is unsafe, we've made a decision that is not, in their estimation, the best, they send that back to the county and have them correct it. We are seeing some good results from that at the present time, and we'll continue to assess that as well.
You mentioned mandatory overtime. You've required the workers to work at least 8 hours per week overtime, if I understand correctly. Can they say no to that, number one? And number two, does requiring people to work extra time in an already stressful job on an already high caseload, is that really the best way to attack this?
Well, you know, I think what I recognize is this is a short-term strategy. My communication to the staff has been around the need to increase safety for children. That's the reason these people are in these jobs to begin with. You quoted earlier the pay, and the pay is not the reason people do these jobs. However, it also helps their morale to be recognized in some way. So giving a little bit of overtime and paying for that is one way to mitigate the concerns around that. It is not optional for staff. If you are qualified to do child welfare work in this agency, including state office staff, we're requiring you to do additional hours. I myself have been doing hours as well. I've been riding with caseworkers reacquainting myself with what it's like to knock on a door and tell a parent that you're there to investigate child abuse and neglect.
You were a caseworker at one time, weren't you? Was that here in Georgia?
No, it was actually in North Carolina. I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina and was a child protective services social worker, my first job out of college. And so I know what it's like to do these investigations. I know what it's like to have caseloads over the recommended 15. And so I think that gives me a unique position from which to speak about this to the governor, to the legislators, and to other community leaders so that we can get the resources that we need and correct the problems.
What's different now from the time that you were in the field doing this work?
You know, I think family problems appear to me to have become more complex. And whereas oftentimes, the cases that we dealt with when I was a caseworker 25 years ago, those typically had one or two dimensions to them. You might have a family who had poverty as a concern, unable to provide basic resources for their child, but then you'd have, on top of that, probably substance abuse. And so nowadays, what we're seeing is problems that are even more complex than that. It may be three or four factors that a family is dealing with. So every time that you increase the different risk factors that families have, the complexity of solving for that increases as well. And so we have to have caseworkers who are much better versed in a variety of areas, including domestic violence, substance abuse, how to resolve poverty issues. And those are very difficult things to do when you look at one of them. If you look at two or three of them, you can imagine the complexity increases, the difficulty of the job increases as well.
And at the risk of being repetitive, that circles us right back to salary and qualifications.
Absolutely.
How do you find people who can deal with that kind of complex caseload?
You know, I think, again, most people don't go into this work because of a salary. They go into the work because they feel it's a calling. However, I do think that after they get into the work, because of the stressful nature, it is incumbent upon us to pay them well enough to justify them staying. We do see a large turnover in child welfare in the national context. I think it is comparable or higher here in Georgia.
Yeah, what's the average stay right now for a worker?
Well, the average stay I'm not certain about, but I can tell you that annualized we have 25 to 35% turnover depending on what county you look at. And so the turnover is rather large. The average tenure, I'm told, is 7 years, 9 years, actually.
Average tenure is 9 years.
Yes.
Okay. But the figure of, was it 25 to 35% turnover, you said?
That's correct.
Is that per year?
That's annualized, yes.
So you're having to replace about a third of your caseworker force every year.
Absolutely. Major challenge. When you're having to recruit and train a third of your workforce every year, that is a major challenge. I think that's been a challenge, however, that has been synonymous with child welfare throughout the country. Everywhere I've worked, those kind of turnover figures are the case. And I can only liken it to, amount of stress that you have on the job. And this is a tremendously stressful job.
What are the risks, though, to kids who, as we have heard, a number of them already fall through the cracks? If there's that kind of turnover, that increases the risk. And what can you do about it? You said it's a nationwide problem. Do we have any ideas either here or elsewhere?
I think part of this is salary, no doubt. But it's not the overwhelming factor. I think we also have to prepare people better to go into this field. So doing things like working with your schools of social work to have a track for people who are going to be in child welfare, to give them an opportunity to go out and experience what it's like. You don't want the person to go out into the field for the first time having never experienced what it's like to do child welfare social work. If you do, more than likely you're going to burn that person out pretty quickly. But if you give them experiences that prepare them for that, then they're more likely to stay with you or elect out early on in the education process. So we've got to do a better job at that.